Hey class, welcome to the Prop JC Leadership Podcast. And this week, what we're going to dive into our class on service here. I'm actually kind of excited about this week. I was supposed to have the Tim Keller book with me, and I left it at my office and did not bring it. But I know where I wanted to go with that book, and I'm excited what we're going to talk about today. In that book, Timothy Keller, who there are some people in the classes that I've used this book for, some people really love that book, and other people look at that book and say that this is the worst book ever. So it just depends on kind of who you're talking to. I think it's a really good book, but I can understand why other people don't like it as much. Well, one of the people he talks about in his book, okay, so one of the ideas he brings up is this idea, serve the work. Serve the work. And this is what I want to talk about today. We're talking about in this class of service, and we're getting ready to start getting into, you know, our mission and kind of what that looks like. But the most important thing that I want each and every one of you to have in this class is a service mindset, because I believe it is the way, if you're going to build a nonprofit, it of course is the way that you're going to build a nonprofit. But if you're going to build a for-profit business, you're a business mindset, the one way you have to approach the marketplace is from a service mindset, which means I'm here to serve the needs of the customers. I'm here from a position of service, and that's how I'm going to approach the world. What happens from that mutual benefit, we've talked about that in a class, this mindset of mutual benefit, what happens is you will get what you want, right, out of that business if you will treat your customers the way that you need to treat your customers, okay? So Dorothy Sayers is an author, and actually she wrote this this writing, I guess you might call it that, this essay. It's called Why Work by Dorothy Sayers, and she wrote it back in 1942. So this is a long time ago, okay? Not quite 100 years ago, but about 80 years ago maybe, a little bit more than 80 years ago. And I just want to read through it. She has a great perspective. I think it's a good perspective. You can challenge it, you know, a little bit in your writing, but she has a really good perspective on work. So I'm going to skip around. I'm not going to read all of this, but I want to skip around and kind of get to the most important parts. But I want you to just think about that term that I just stated. Serve the work. Serve the work. Here's what she says right here. I don't have page numbers on this, so it's just pages. Whatever we do, Dorothy Sayers says, we shall be faced with grave difficulties. This cannot be disguised. But it will make a great difference to the result if we are genuinely aiming at a real change in economic thinking. And by that, I mean a radical change from top to bottom, a new system, not a mere adjustment of the old system to favor a different set of people. So what I like about that statement right there is what she's saying is that when we come to work, it's much bigger than just thinking, how do we come to work and just pay our bills? How do we come to work and we... how do we come to work and we just show up and do what our boss asks us to do? Is there a larger way of seeing the workplace? And so that's one of that kind of shows you where she's taking this, how we should see work and how we should see the workplace. Now, she is a Christian, okay? So I want you to understand that. And this is a faith-based school, a Christian university. So today we're going to go a little bit deeper on that. But now, if you're not a Christian, that's okay. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to take a Christian mindset. You know, that's up to you. If you're of a different faith background, that's okay as well. But how I want you to put it in is maybe put your own religion or your own sense of higher purpose, you know, whatever it is, if you're not Christian, faith-based, whatever, put your own sense of higher purpose in here, okay? And so she's here, she says this, what is the Christian understanding of work? And maybe I would change that to say, what is the leadership understanding of work? Okay, so if you don't want that Christian term, just put that leadership understanding, and that'll work just fine. So what is the Christian understanding of work? She says, I should like to put before you two or three propositions arising out of the doctrinal position, which I stated at the beginning, namely that work is the natural exercise and function of man, the creature who was made in the image of his creator. You will find that any of them, if given in effect everyday practice, is so revolutionary as to make all political revolutions look like conformity. A lot of words there. We're not going to go into that. Okay. She's basically talking about what is the Christian understanding of work. And she wants to give us three propositions. And here's the first proposition. The first, stated quite briefly, is that work is not primarily a thing one does to live, but the thing one lives to do. We've all heard this before. Do you live to work or work to live? Okay. You're talking to someone here in the call who lives to work. I love to work. I'm very lucky. I get to do what I love, but I've had many jobs before I got to this one. I'm going to tell you that right now, but I love the work I get to do. I just feel blessed and grateful every single day with the work I get to do. It's work for sure, but I'm grateful. So I'm one of those, but not everybody thinks that way. But her philosophy, again, 1942, is that we should, you live to work, not work to live. It is or should be the full expression of the worker's faculties, the thing in which he or she finds spiritual, mental, and bodily satisfaction, and the medium in which he or she offers himself to God. So again, it's a very spiritual thing from her perspective. It's a very spiritual thing to go to work. It's not just about clocking in and clocking out. So that's number one. A person, a human being, was born to work, and so a human being should live for the work. Now, I believe that. I think that's good. You don't have to believe that. You don't have to. You know that's not a position. But I would challenge you to think. To go in that direction for a second and think in that direction, what could your life be if that were the mindset that you were to have? Now, I'm not talking working 80 hours a week. I'm not talking about being taken advantage of, anything like that. But what if you took that mindset and said, I'm going to work to live. I'm going to see work as something I was born to do, not something I have to do just so I can get to the weekends. And I'm not saying that any of you have that mindset, but there are people that do. And so what might that change about your job? What might that change about your long-term purpose if you were to think from that perspective? Okay. Then she says the second, my second proposition directly concerns Christians as such at it is this, it is the business of the church to recognize the secular vocation as such is sacred. Christian people, and particularly perhaps the Christian clergy, must get it firmly into their heads that when a man or woman is called to a particular job of secular work, that it is as true a vocation as though he or she were called to specifically religious work. Now, we don't have to spend a lot of time on that because today I've not seen any kind of religious leaders or pastors who would say, if you work in a secular environment, you're not being a Christian. But probably back in 1942, I'm guessing that was a bigger issue. Probably wanted to encourage people to go use their talents and gifts within Christian religious work. But we see that a lot now. As a matter of fact, I had dinner with a gentleman who is the general superintendent of the Wesleyan Church. He was out here in San Diego. We had dinner. He is big time in what he calls marketplace ministry. And so that's where the marketplace is the ministry, right? So if you're a faith-based person, how you live out your faith is in the marketplace, not just by going to get a divinity degree and working in a church. No, you take your faith into the marketplace. I think that's a wonderful way to do it. This brings me to my third proposition, says Dorothy Sayers, and she says this may sound to you the most revolutionary of all, and it will, and this is the point right here where I lose half the class, okay? But you need to stay with me because I want you to think in this direction, even if you don't think in this direction, okay? I want you to stretch your mind out a little bit on this, and I wish, again, we were in a class so we could have a conversation about this because this is powerful. It is this. The worker's first duty is to serve the work. It's everything we're talking about right now, serve the work. The popular catchphrase of today, this is 1942, but of today, is that it's everybody's duty to serve the community. But there's a catch in it. It is the old catch about the two great commandments. She quotes the Bible. Love God and your neighbor. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, we're not going to go into all of that right there, but let's come down to what she says. There are three reasons why she would say instead of serving the community, right? A lot of people say that I want to serve the community. And what she says from a Christian perspective, a faith-based perspective, if you're serving the community, you're putting people above God. And our job as Christians, our job as those of us who call ourselves faith-based Christian, whatever it is to serve God. Well, how do we serve God? It's by serving the work that he has called us to do, serving the work that he's created us to do. I'd go even, that's bigger than calling. Calling sometimes is like, well, my calling could change, or people associate calling with feelings or passion. If it's about what we were created to do, then it doesn't matter whether we're called or not. It's something we have to do as human beings. We have to work. Okay. So there are three very good reasons for this. And here's what she says. The first, okay, is that you cannot do good work if you take your mind off of the work to see how the community is taking it, any more than you can make a good drive from the tee if you take your eye off the ball. Blessed are the single-hearted, okay? If your heart is not wholly in the work will not be good. And work that is not good serves neither God nor community, okay? It only serves mammon. And so it's only there for the money. It's only there for the reward. So basically what she's saying is that it's not about serving the community, it's about serving the work. Why? Because whether you're serving the community or not, if you're serving the work is going to be good, and the work has to be good. And if the work is good, then you're going to serve the community in the best way. If the work is good, you're going to serve your client in the best way. If the work is good, you're going to serve your business in the best way. That business is going to serve the world, and you're going to make the profit you want to make. Okay, so you've got to serve the work. B, she says, the second reason is that the moment you think of serving, now this is key right here, especially for all you nonprofit people. I want you to listen to this. The second reason is that the moment you think of serving other people, you begin to have a notion that other people owe you something for your pains. You begin to think that you have a claim on the community. You will begin to bargain for reward, to angle for applause, and to harbor a grievance if you are not appreciated. But if your mind is set upon serving the work, then you know you have nothing to look for. The only reward the work can give you is the satisfaction of beholding its perfection, the work, okay? Holding the work up. That's the most important thing. The work takes all and gives nothing but itself, and to serve the work is a labor of pure love. In one of the classes, my in-person class this semester, we had a great talk the other day about what makes certain people stand out from other people. That's kind of where we were going. And one of the points that we talked about is that the greatest people of all time, they're not needy for other people's approval. That they're not in the marketplace creating products or services or whatever it is because they're trying to get their own personal needs met. These are people who just get out and they serve they serve the mission. Okay, so whatever the mission is of the organization, that's the thing that they're most fo that's the thing they're most focused on. Now, other people might look at them and say they're harsh, they're mean, that person fired me too quickly, they got rid of me, and all this stuff. Their whole mindset is not about I'm doing this to try to get people to like me. I'm not doing this. I'm doing this because the mission, the work is so important. I think that this is one of the most important things we have to understand, is that if you're serving people, you will expect something from people. And it causes us to be needy. It causes us to come to the workplace needy, right? It causes us to come to our organizations needy. But if you're serving the work, then the most important thing you care about is the work. Is the work good? And so at the end of the day, if you know the work is good, you've done your job. It doesn't matter what your boss says. Now, of course, you don't want your boss firing you, but you don't need your boss's approval. It doesn't matter what, your client says. They can come purchase your product and they don't tell you anything good about what you've done. They just keep purchasing your product, but you don't need that because you serve the work. So it takes away any neediness that we have when we put ourselves out there. And I see this a lot, especially with nonprofit people. They get out there and they serve people, and then people are typically not grateful. People are typically not warm and inviting and don't give back to you. And so nonprofit people oftentimes will get burnt out because what did they do? They went in oftentimes, sometimes they went in with the wrong motive. They went in with the motive that I'm doing this because I want the praise of man. I want the applause of people. I want the affirmations. I want people to tell me how good I am. And at some point, it's just not how the world works. Okay. So that's another reason why Dorothy says serve the work. And then thirdly, she says this: if you set out to serve the community, you will probably end by merely fulfilling a public demand. And you may not even do that. A public demand is a changeable thing. 9/10 of the band plays nine. I'm sorry, 9/10 of the bad plays put on in theaters owe their badness to the fact that the playwright has aimed at pleasing the audience instead of it producing a good and satisfactory play. Instead of doing the work as its own integrity demands that it should be done, he has falsified the play by putting in this or that which he thinks will appeal to the groundlings, who by that time have probably come to want something else, and the play fails by its insincerity. The work has been falsified to please the public, and in the end, even the public is not pleased. As it is with works of art, so it is with all work. I love that. You know, again, and you think about people who are musicians, right, who put out, their best music. Typically, the music starts to fall when they start trying to produce it for the crowd, okay? The goal is to have something authentic. Fame and fortune and all that other stuff, that's not the goal. The goal is to serve the work, okay? It's to create work that is good. Now, again, I'm not against fame or fortune. I'm not against the marketplace. I'm not against market-driven products and services, seeing what the market needs. And then, but what I'm saying is that when you dive in, you know, if there is a market need here, or a gap in the market that you're going to solve or you're going to serve, whatever it is, when you dive into that gap in the market, okay, you've got to dive in on the thing, on the work, not because you're trying to get approval of other people, okay? And I think that's where things can go wrong is when people start doing things because, again, they're just listening to the groundlings, as she would talk it, you know, as she would say. Because the groundlings, that's the market, that's the marketplace, that's people, they're constantly changing. They don't even know what they want. That's that old saying in marketing, right? People don't know what they want until we tell them what they want. And so we're just constantly serving them. It's just going to be this constant cycle, which, of course, business is a cycle. But I'm saying, and I think what Dorothy is saying, is it's really important to serve the work, because when you serve the work, again, all this other stuff that messes people up and messes products and services up, all that goes right out the table. We don't have to worry about that. It was kind of like a few years ago when McDonald's, they were listening to the marketplace. They were listening to, well, we want more salads. Well, we want more of this. We want more healthy options. We want more of this and more healthy burgers. And nobody goes to McDonald's for health. I sure don't. Right? I like a McDonald's sandwich every now and then. I'm not pulling in there and thinking to myself, man, I just want a good salad here. If I want a salad, I'm going to go to a store that really has salads. I'm going to go to the grocery store and build my own. I'll go to one of these great restaurants like, there's one in Mission Valley. They have good soups and salads. I forget the name of it, but it's a great restaurant. I can't believe it. I just got it when I was sick and I was up in Newport Beach. I was coming down sick and I immediately ordered from there and made it all better. But they have great salads. They have great soups. They have great sandwiches. That's where I'm going to go. I go to McDonald's because I want the gut bomb, right? I go because I want the fries and I want that burger. And I know I'm going to pay a price for it tomorrow, right? And same for you. That's why you go to McDonald's. Okay. So, but they tried to do that and they found that they were getting way off track on their mission, which is to create great burgers and create them fast, right? Why do you think In-N-Out is so successful? They stay in their lane, right? You go to In-N-Out, you're not going to get a salad. You're not getting, we're going to make you a great burger, great fries, great shake, great drink, whatever it is. And that's all we're going to do. Okay. We're not going to listen to what everyone else is saying. We're going to stay in our lane. So serve the work. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Now, you're going to have to listen to this, okay, if you didn't quite get it. Dorothy Sayers gives three reasons why we need to serve the work, okay? I just want you to write those out in a sentence. The third reason, she lists three reasons why. I'm sorry, not serve the work. Dorothy Sayers, let me actually go find this, gives three propositions on the Christian understanding of work, okay? So let me correct myself there. Dorothy Sayers gives three propositions on the Christian understanding of work. What are those three propositions? The third one, okay, which I just gave away when I just was telling you that. The third one, okay, what are the three reasons why? And you can just sum it up, okay? What are the three reasons why Dorothy Sayers says that the third proposition is a good proposition? So you just write those things out, and then I'd love to hear from you just a sentence or two. Do you agree or disagree? And it doesn't matter to me if you disagree or not, or if you agree or not. It's kind of cool to see what you think. Again, most of my students, it's like 50-50. Some really think this is a great perspective and some don't. So anyway, I'll leave that up to you. Hey, thanks so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode next week. And here in a couple weeks, I think I've got some people that are joining me here on the podcast, where that's going to be a lot of fun as well, too. So, all right. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and I'll see you soon. Take care.